The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So a really warm welcome. A warm welcome to everybody. It's a delight to be practicing with you all. And tonight I wanted to talk about this idea of we just keep on coming back. We keep on coming back to the practice. We keep on coming back to the breath, if that's our for practice with mindfulness, or we keep on coming back to happy hour, or we keep on coming back to the object of loving kindness or compassion practice, or whatever it is that we're doing. This idea of beginning again, coming back, hanging in there, having some perseverance, even if it's not, rock solid, we're there 100% every time. But just this idea of maybe it's not giving up. So sometimes we might have these ideas that, well, I've been practicing for so long, X amount of time, and I have these expectations that something should be happening, that whatever it might be, should be happening by now. And for some of you who have been coming here, you know that sometimes I talk about how independent of what happens while we're actually on the cushion, that there might be some, the way that the outcome of the practice shows up is not on the cushion. So even though on the cushion we might be creating the conditions and practicing with loving kindness, maybe we don't feel any particular loving kindness. Maybe we do, and maybe we don't. But then where we start to see it is in our daily life, is when the way that we respond to mistakes, or the way that we respond to some setbacks or some difficulties. And there's a few similes that the Buddha uses when he's talking about just this idea of kind of like hanging in there. And maybe we don't see the small, the incremental changes that are happening because they're small and incremental. So here's one description that the Buddha is using to describe this, the activity of like development, how it affects us. It says, when carpenters look at the handle of their axes, they see the impressions of their fingers and their thumb. But they do not know so much of the axe handle was worn away today, and so much was worn away yesterday, and so much was worn away earlier. But when it has worn away, the knowledge occurs to them that it has worn away. So it's like it's not until after it's really obvious that we notice, but we can't point to, oh yeah, it was because of that thing I did on that particular Tuesday, or you know, whatever it might be. But instead, it's just this very gradual, incremental change that doesn't happen. But it's just, you know, it's very small, but it adds up. And then here's another simile, another like visual. Suppose there was a seafaring ship bound with rigging that had been worn away in the water for 6 months. So that's a long time just for the rope to be in the water for 6 months. It would be hauled up on dry land during the cold season, and its rigging would be further attacked by wind and sun. So here's the rope now gets influenced by other things, wind and sun. Inundated by rain from a rain cloud, the rigging would easily collapse and rot away. So too, when someone dwells devoted to development, their fetters easily collapse and rot away. This idea that, you know, there's these different elements that have impact on the rope. In this case, it's symbolic for things that bind us, things that get in the way of freedom and ease, things that have us connected or attached to things that aren't helpful. So just this recognition of perseverance or diligence, persistence, these types of things. But it's tricky to talk about this because what we don't want to set up is this feeling like that we have to strive and that we have to strain and that we have to force something to happen. Especially with loving kindness practice, we want to approach it with some softness and some ease, but just to approach it again and again and again with some open-heartedness, with some, we'll see how it is today. And for me, I'll say that this had a big impact on me, that at the beginning when I started meditation practice, I could sit, on the floor on the cushion. I don't remember exactly, but maybe it was like 10 minutes. And then, my body was starting to complain and I'm looking around me and feeling the peer pressure at the meditation center. Everybody else is sitting with their, sitting on the cushion, and I was always having to adjust my posture. But that's just the way it is. I wanted to hear the teachings, so I came. And then, I didn't even really notice that just slowly I was just able to sit longer and longer and just not having to shift my posture without even really making that a particular goal necessarily. It just happened. I just, again and again, coming. So maybe you yourself have a similar experience. Maybe just sitting in any meditation posture, it just gets easier and easier. Our body gets used to it. And we can't point to exactly what time or exactly what thing that we did that made all the difference. So, with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation practice. So, taking an alert, upright posture. And maybe beginning with three long, slow, deep breaths as a way to connect, as a way to easily find kind of like these exaggerated breaths. And allowing the breath to return to normal and trusting that the body knows how to breathe. We can just check in with the sensations of the body and seeing if there are any obvious places. There might be some tension or tightness around the eyes and the jaw, common places. And the shoulders. Sometimes we find our shoulders are hitched up around our ears. Can we allow them to relax and to fall away from the ears? And feeling connected to the chair or cushion, feeling the pressure on the backside, on the legs. And and feeling the feet, another place where we can feel grounded and connected. So using our awareness of the body to support feeling connected, and also to support maybe having some less tension, less tightness. And then to rest the attention on the sensations of breathing. The movement of the chest or abdomen. When we notice the mind is spinning stories or lost in a story, with gentleness, with ease, then begin again with the sensations of breathing. Allowing the attention to rest with the movement of the body associated with breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice. Starting where it's easy. Bring into mind a lovable being. Someone with whom we have an uncomplicated relationship. Someone that's just easy to feel care, warmth, goodwill, benevolence, kindness, love. And we can connect with this lovable being. Whether it's a person we know or an imaginary kitten, puppies, babies. Is there a way to connect with this being, either with the image or maybe with the felt sense, in whatever way that makes sense to you. And feel the reason why you're using them as a lovable being. Feel the love, the warmth, the kindness. have towards this being. And to support our cultivating loving kindness, support our perseverance, or again and again, bringing the mind back. We can say these phrases. Also with a recognition that you can choose your own phrases. If these ones don't resonate, don't seem quite right for you. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. We're just inclining the heart and mind towards warmth and care. With this practice, so that it's available to us at other times, readily available. and to extend our loving kindness to include ourselves. Sometimes we neglect sending loving kindness to ourselves. So, is there a way that you can connect with yourself? Either the felt sense of sitting here right now, or maybe an image of yourself. Some people like to do an image of when they were young, a child. You're welcome to experiment and find what's easiest for you to connect. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can be really helpful to have a sense of the body. Maybe there's some softness, some spaciousness, some openness in the heart area, in the chest. Maybe there's a warm feeling in the belly. And allowing that to support the loving kindness. For many of us, it can be be wise and helpful to just stay with these two practices of loving kindness, with the lovable being and for oneself, without extending it to more difficult people, but really allowing the heart and the mind to get really drenched in loving kindness, so that it's just overflowing. Sometimes it might feel like it's appropriate to extend loving kindness. So your choice, whether you'd like to stay here, the lovable being in this oneself, or if you'd like to bring to mind a neutral person, somebody we don't know. Somebody perhaps you see in the neighborhood on occasion. Maybe a coworker that you don't really know. You've only met them on Zoom. Maybe somebody in this Zoom session right now. Can we extend our loving kindness to people we don't know? Can be helpful, albeit not the easiest, to have a mental image of the neutral person. Connect with that image. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. drop by drop, is the water jug filled. And then to do some equanimity practice. To help us stay balanced. For this practice, bring to mind somebody that you care about, you have a relationship with. And sometimes they're a little bit irritating. Not the most difficult person you know. Sometimes they're a little irksome. And for this practice, we have this phrase. I wish you happiness and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness and I cannot make your choices for you. And then in this last portion of the meditation, you can do whatever practice seems to be supportive for you right now. Maybe to refresh some loving kindness, going back to the lovable being. Maybe to stay with equanimity. Or maybe to do mindfulness of breathing. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of maybe we come to our meditation practice and maybe it doesn't feel alive or juicy in some kind of way, but we just keep on coming back. There's something to be said for the diligence or the perseverance, as well as there can be some gentle inquiry, like, is there a little bit of resistance, or is there, I've just fallen into inertia and I'm just doing the same thing over and over because that's what I've done before. So we can couple a gentle inquiry into our practice if we find that we're coming back and back and doesn't seem like anything is changing, and couple that with a recognition, of course, things don't change right away. And every time we come to the cushion, we practice. And sometimes we'll sit down to do some loving kindness practice and everything except loving kindness arises. This is part of the practice too, to recognize that that happens. So now I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you can talk about this idea of kind of coming back and back to the practice again and again. Even though sometimes it's maybe uncomfortable or difficult or not so easy to do. But then again, I want to emphasize to do this in a way in which we're not beating ourselves up, in a way that honors and respects ourselves and what's happening in our lives.
Excuse me, Diana?
Yes?
Yes, I'm sorry. I have a hearing loss, so I had trouble understanding a lot of what you were saying. I'm sorry. But it sounded sort of, can you understand me?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounded somewhat similar to the talk you gave this morning. Is that true?
No, in the sense that this morning was about compassion, and this morning was about loving, this evening was about loving kindness, and more about the idea of just coming back again and again. And I'm sorry that this you weren't able to hear me. Does it make a difference if I put the microphone closer?
Yeah, it does.
Can you hear this better?
That is better, yeah.
And I think I'm speaking a little bit louder too. I think maybe that my voice dropped. Yes, Wendy's nodding her head, I can see. Yeah, okay. So my apologies for that.
Can I give a quick hint as someone who has a severe hearing loss? It's really helpful when you go into the breakout groups to just tell people that you didn't hear it appropriately. And by listening to how people talk, you pick up a lot, and that's how you can put it together. Because I've been in the same situation, Brian. Thank you.
Yeah, so my apologies. Maybe you can, I don't know, is this a signal? Like, just like I can't hear you, but I don't always have my eyes open too, right? So, yeah, my apologies. Okay, so breakout rooms. So you can have an opportunity, you can talk about this idea of coming back again and again. Or you could talk a little bit about, well, what the heck did Diana say? I hardly heard it. So let's go in alphabetical order by screen name. And then you can go around the circle. And maybe just the first time around, just say one or two things. You don't have to say your whole, everything you know, or all of your thoughts about the topic. And then it goes from the first person to the second, the third, and for some of you, you'll be in rooms of four. and then allow it to come back around so that the first person has a second time, a second opportunity to speak. And maybe they have something new or different to say, having heard everybody else. So in this way, you can create things. You can create something new together. Okay, enjoy. Okay, we don't have a lot of time, but would somebody like to make a comment about something they learned or was interesting or a question from the small groups?
Well, I mean, since I, you know, hadn't heard a lot of what you said, I took someone else's advice, and in the breakout room, I asked the other three specifically about your comment about coming back again and again and again, and I got three different interpretations of it. It's amazing. You got a very, very rich combination of meanings in there.
And so this can be rich, right? That we can find our way with it. And this is something I appreciate very much, that the teachings, they have a depth to them. So sometimes we see one thing and other times we see something else. And that's probably true with everything too. If you ask three different people, you'll get three different interpretations. So thank you, Brian.